The first reading, now I've found it, is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess him that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Good morning, everyone. We are reading from Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 to 11. He called his disciples, and 12 disciples, to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey, or extra tunic, or sandals, or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there, and stay at his house until you leave. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you both. Excellent. I'm really excited about this message today. And it's one of those privileged times when, as the preacher, God's really spoken to me as I have prepared. Jesus has all authority. He has everything. And it's simple, but my mind has been open to it in a greater way this week. I don't know if any of you have been around your work circles or Christian circles long enough to have done some of the personality typing things. I've done a number of them, and there's one called Myers-Briggs, and you're given four letters. And I'm an ENTJ, which means I'm an extrovert, I do things by thinking, I can see the big picture, all those sorts of things. But cheekily, someone has written a prayer for each personality type. And I'm absolutely embarrassed to say that for an ENTJ, the prayer is, Lord, I've got this. If I need some help, I'll let you know. Something like that. How awful is that? How awful is that? But yeah, sorry, Lord, there's a tendency. He's given me some gifts. I'm okay standing in front of people. And yeah, I have a busy week. I have a diary. I get on with stuff. But no, Lord, I don't want to be doing it and then asking you for a little bit of help here and there. He's the one with all authority in heaven and earth and under the earth. And it was like, yay, this week. It wasn't quite, I'm on vocation, he can do it all, because he's called me and he's called each of us. But it's this wonderful assurance that he is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And he's got it. So that's what this is all about, but I'm going to talk for a little longer, but let's pray. Lord Jesus, exalted to the highest place, the one in whom every knee should bow and every tongue confess, the one who holds all authority, we come before you and cry out, please speak to us now. You are awesome, amazing. And yet you know us, you love us, and you have a word for us today. So speak to us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I wonder if you can think of any occasions in your life when you've thought really carefully about what you're going to say to someone. whether it's been something that you would say verbally or something that you've written down in a letter or in a card, that you've thought really carefully about it because your intention is that these are significant words, lasting words to someone, encouraging and inspiring. It could be on their big birthday, or it could be a retirement, or it could have been a point in time where either you were moving to another part of the country or they were leaving to go somewhere else for a job or even emigrating. You wanted them to be significant words. The picture I chose was this at an airport. A couple saying goodbye to each other. One heading off somewhere. I wonder what they've said to each other. I wonder if there were significant words. This week, Paul and I celebrated our 8th wedding anniversary. Yeah. I know, mere amateurs compared to some of you of many, many, many years married. But 8 years ago, at our wedding reception, everyone's nameplate was a luggage label. A bit cheap, you might say, but there was a theme, honest. And the idea of this was that on it, I would write some significant words to each person at our wedding reception, telling them what they meant to us, telling them what I appreciated about them. I think we had about 120 guests at our sit-down meal, so quite a task. But you know what? For me, it was such a joy. Words are my love language, and it was great to be able to show that love in words. And the one I enjoyed doing the most, the one with probably the most significant words, was of course this one, to Paul Featherstone, who, when he sat down to a meal and read it, had been married to me and been my husband for, what, 2 hours? There are times when significant words are to be said. And that's definitely true of Jesus with his last words to his disciples before he ascends into heaven. These are the words that are found at the end of Matthew's gospel. And as I said earlier, and as I read them to you earlier, they're known as the Great Commission. If you take nothing else away this morning, these are significant words. Jesus said to them, and you're beginning to learn it and remember it if you don't know it already, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Significant words said by Jesus to his disciples, and so in turn given to us, his disciples today. And over the next 5 weeks, as we said, we're going to be looking at these verses, taking them line by line, asking God to speak to us afresh. And this is a key thing for us to be doing, because it's from the Great Commission that we've taken the vision of St. Mary's, our strapline for what we are all about, what we feel the God-given vision for this church is, comes from the Great Commission. Our vision is to grow as disciples and to make disciples. My prayer is that through this sermon series and through many, many other avenues, that we continue to grow as disciples of Jesus. My big prayer is that we are disciples who make disciples. So before turning to the opening sentence of the Great Commission, which we're looking at today, let's firstly look at the context. So Jesus has fulfilled his earthly ministry. He's been around teaching, healing, and then he's put to death on the cross. And then, as we celebrated 3 weeks ago today, They went, and the tomb was empty. He is not here. He has risen. And the Great Commission is given after Jesus is rose from the dead and before he ascends into heaven. These significant words are the last words Jesus speaks while physically on the earth. And when we looked at Matthew's gospel on Easter Sunday, we heard Jesus say to the women, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Well, let's put these verses up again. I've gone back now to verse 16 so we can have a look at this context. Firstly, you'll see that there are 11 disciples. It's a good reminder. Judas isn't there. We're to keep our eyes fixed on the truth and fixed on Jesus. But they're in Galilee. So the other thing we see here is that they have been obedient. He told the women to go to them and say, "Go to Galilee, there they will see me." And in this text here, it says they went there where Jesus had told them to go. They were obedient. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. They were worshippers. And where do we find them? We find them on a mountain. Throughout Scripture, important things happen on mountains. So may this moment right now and our gatherings over the weeks be mountaintop places for us. I invite us all, myself included, to come as obedient disciples, to come as worshippers. And may we hear these significant words of Jesus being spoken directly to us. So today I have the task and the privilege to unfold the scriptures in regard to the first sentence, Jesus saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Now, if you look up various sources of information about the Great Commission, and I really hope that you go and do that, you will find that many of them jump immediately to Jesus saying, "Therefore, go and make disciples." Some things you read or you listen to will summarize four areas of the Great Commission. Go, make disciples, baptize, and teach. It'd be very easy to jump to "therefore go." But you know, I feel it's important that we don't do that. It's important that we look at this first sentence, because it is this sentence which outlines the reason why we, as fallible, broken human beings, can even be part of this Great Commission. It is, of course, because of him to whom all authority in heaven and on earth and under the earth has been given, and because of the gift of the Holy Spirit empowering us, that we can be part of the mission. So what we're going to do, we're going to dig into Scripture. We're going to look at this all authority of Jesus. We're going to look at how he had all authority when he was on earth, how he has all authority in heaven, and how he gives all authority to us. So, the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. I'm going to read to you some verses from Mark's Gospel near the beginning. So we're in Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 21, and it's on page 1002 of the Church Bibles, if you've got one there. So that they referred to is Jesus and his disciples. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly, come out of him. The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, what is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him. And news about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. The authority of Jesus, God come to earth as man, was seen in many ways as he lived on earth amongst the people. We heard read there that it was seen in his teaching, such that people were amazed by it because he taught with authority. It even specifies that it wasn't like the teachers of the law. They compared Jesus to those who had authority in their day, and it just didn't compare. It was amazingly greater. And Jesus' authority, as we've just sang in that song, was seen over every power and dominion. He had authority over impure and evil spirits, and he drove them out, and people were amazed. Elsewhere in the Gospels, as we read them, we see Jesus' authority over creation. He calms storm, he turns water into wine, and he heals people with many different diseases. He has all authority, and this was seen on the earth. In his teaching, in his healing, in driving out spirits. We not only see his authority when he was on earth, we now know that he has all authority in heaven. I asked for the first reading today. It's wonderful putting a sermon series together, but it's quite a challenge, like which are the portions of scripture that we should be reading corporately together. And I felt led to this beautiful hymn that's recorded in Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. Philippians 2, 9 to 11. And thank you, Sylvia, for reading that to us. I'm going to read it again because it's just these three verses. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is exalted to the highest place. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He has the name above every name. And it is true that at his name, every knee will bow and every tongue will state that he is Lord. This is the authority he has. And we see it in many places in Scripture, and I wanted to look at it in one more place, in the last book of the Bible, in Revelation, where John is given a vision of heaven. And in chapter 5, John then writes down this, "Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne be praise and honour and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. This is Jesus, seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus, the Lamb on the throne, and every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth praises him and bows down and worships him. It is so clear from Scripture and all we know about Jesus that he has all authority. And now the most incredible thing, the amazing thing is that we are called to serve in his name and in his authority. The authority of the Lord Jesus Christ is given to us. While he walked the earth, we see this in Jesus giving authority to his disciples. And so, thank you, Matt, for reading earlier. I chose the passage from Matthew 10. But we have accounts in different Gospels. We see Jesus sends out the disciples, the 12. We see him sending out a wider group, sometimes referred to as the 70 and sometimes as the 72. And we've heard in that reading this morning, Matthew chapter 10, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority. Jesus gave his disciples authority. The full verse is this. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and heal every disease and sickness. He gave them authority. He gave it to all of them. Ben, is the hand held?
What Matthew then does is he goes and he lists the 12 disciples, the ones to whom he's given the authority. He names them because God knows us each by name. So if it was today, if we really take this scripture into us, Jesus called those gathered in St. Mary's on the 26th of April and gave each of us authority. To John and John, to Joan, to Claire and Pete, to Rosemary, to Emma, to Matt, to Elaine, to Amanda, to Ali, to Carrie, to Linda, to Anne, to Sylvia, to Fran and Irene, to Pierre, to Jude and Sue, to Joe and Lydia, to Adam and Son, to Nick and Liz, to Leah, to Helen, to Kevin, to Richard, to Gordon, to Jan and Rob, to Bex and Doug, to Rob and Velma, to Margaret and Bill, to Emma, to Paul and Ross, to Rachel, to Ernie and Jill, to Rob and Michael, to Dave and Ben and Ewan, to Deborah and to Amanda. He gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness.
It's interesting he names them all there, isn't it? He names them because he sends them. He knows us by name and he sends us. And as he sent the disciples, the instructions he gives them also include, as you go, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. So if we look at the authority given to the disciples, we see that they are given authority to teach. They're given authority to drive out evil spirits, and they're given authority to heal people. These are the very things we listed as Jesus having authority over. Of course they are, because it's his authority that we're given. Jesus called his disciples to him and gave them authority. And as his disciples today, we serve in his name and are given his authority. And as I prepared and as I read this week, I read this that really spoke to me. It's not part of scripture, it's written by a commentator. Jesus gives us authority to cause the reign of God to show up in people's lives. Wow. Just think for a moment of the people that are close to you that you love. And think about the challenges and hurts and pains and brokenness in their lives. We have a part in bringing the reign of God in people's lives, that transformation. Well, those are the people we already know. What about our wider circle or the people we don't even yet know? The people in Hollywood and Withal. All those challenges and hurts and pains and brokenness in their life. Don't we long for God's kingdom to come? For that transformation? Jesus gives us authority to cause the reign of God to show up in people's lives. Jesus has all the authority, and we're looking for his kingdom to come. We'll pray the Lord's Prayer later. You're probably people who pray it most days, but we all pray it every week. Your kingdom come. And just to say that the kingdom of God is one of those things that in theology, in Christianity, we refer to as being both now and not yet. So the kingdom of God, the reign of Jesus is now. He's won all the victory, but we see it now, but it is still to come. And in Jesus' name and in his authority, in the Great Commission and in throughout the Gospels, we see that we are being told as his disciples that we are part of his work, of extending his kingdom, of his reign being seen in people's lives, his reign spreading throughout our beautiful communities of Hollywood and Withall. I don't know about you, but I just think that's just such a beautiful picture. And I'm crying out, yes, yes, please. And here I am, Lord, send me. Not because I'm anything, not because of my role, not because of anything I can do, but because he is everything and he can do all things. And the only reason we can be involved is because of the Holy Spirit empowering us. I was on leave a couple of weeks ago after Easter, and Archdeacon Jenny came and spoke here. And the passage was a resurrection appearance where Jesus appears to his disciples, and then Thomas isn't there, and he appears again a week later when Thomas is there. And in that passage, we see recorded Jesus is saying, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. Again, for me, that's like a bit of a wow moment. God sent Jesus to earth, and Jesus sends us into the world. And in that passage, if you carry on reading, you'll see that Jesus breathes on his disciples and says, receive the Holy Spirit. We are not sent in our own strength or in our own authority. Thank God. We are sent in the power of the Holy Spirit and with the authority of Jesus. And because we are, because of who he is, and because of the gift of the Holy Spirit, the following, frankly, to me, astounding verse of scripture is also true. It's from John 14, verse 12, where Jesus says to his disciples, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. We will do the things Jesus did. Not just that, greater things. It's one of those verses that I'm always in awe of and wowed by. We can do greater things because it's his work, his authority, and the empowering through the Holy Spirit. In the Great Commission, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go. It's because of him, because of his authority, and because of the work of the Holy Spirit that we can go. And surely he is with us always to the very end of the age, with us through his Holy Spirit. A number of years ago, when I visited my parents, I found an old diary. It was from the year when I went to university and when I became a Christian. And I noted the very last verse of Matthew 28 in that diary. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And for a long time, for me, the Great Commission was that wonderful, he's with me, he's with me, he's with me. Over the years, I began to see the verses above it. All authority in heaven and earth have been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. It was a call on my life in terms of going. But it's not the call just on vicars and evangelists. It's a call on all of us. And I think it's exciting because it's about him. Even if you're an ENTJ and you think you can do it yourself, it's all about him. So I started talking about significant words. All the words of Scripture are significant. All the words of Jesus are significant. But I think it's fair to say that these last words spoken while he was physically on this earth are meant to be significant words from Jesus. May they be significant to us as we journey through these coming weeks. May we have our vision of Jesus and his authority extended, to really know it's his authority. And may we know we're given his authority to cause the reign of God to show up in people's lives. And as the gathered church, we say, may it be so. And we pray earnestly, come, Holy Spirit. Amen.